This is Twit.
Now, before net neutrality, before the era of the mega breaches, before neural networking, before deep learning and self-driving everything's, Twiat had a score to settle with the credit card industry in the United States. Specifically, back in 2012, when we first started this show, we were disgusted by the PCI DSS standards that the U.S. credit card industry was staying with, despite its laughable track record and its almost meaningless certification. Basically, the only thing keeping your credit card data secure was the hopes and dreams of the credit card companies and retailers who thought the expense of fraud was less than the cost of upgrading their security. Now, back then on Twiat, along with Oliver Riss, we had a very nice conversation about this. And basically on Twiat, we had agreed that the only thing that was going to change this was when the pain point got to the tipping point. When finally they realized we can't continue to do this, we can't continue to take these losses, we can't continue to have fraud as part of the business plan. Well, let's go ahead and jump forward to today. It's more than 2 years since the U.S. started its transition to chipped credit cards and the chip and sign system. Now, it's definitely a step forward, but even when the transition was finally provoked by some high-profile hacks of Target, Home Depot, Michaels, and the like, the chip and sign seemed like a half measure, and we on Twiat couldn't figure out why they wouldn't go better with a secured system like chip and PIN, rather than to moving to a method that would most likely not see that much adoption and was already obsolete. Well, now we've got our first sets of decent data. First up, it is actually cutting down on retail point fraud. According to Visa, fraud from credit card terminals is down 70% from September 2015 to December 2017. Now, that sounds like a lot, but only 59% of U.S. storefronts actually have the terminals that accept chip cards. And the financial impact of credit card fraud is up, even as the occurrence of retail fraud is down. Now, it might be that the fraud has simply moved online where accounts are not protected against card not present or CNP transactions. Chibert, I want to start this off with you. This has been something that we have been concerned about for quite a while because it's a glaring hole in our financial system. We just assume that we're going to have fraud perpetrated against us, and everyone always tells us, oh, just report it to your credit card company. And yes, that might make you whole financially, but it doesn't make you whole from the fact that someone still has your personally identifying information. What's your take on this? Is Visa right? Is fraud actually down? Is this working, or is this just the sense of, well, yeah, it's just moved elsewhere?
You know, if you are to believe the report that we're getting, the report says it is cutting down on retail point fraud, not online. And they're saying fraud from credit card terminals is down 70%. Now, the interesting thing number, which kind of puts this in perspective, is only 59% of U.S. storefronts actually have terminals that accept chip cards. So the reality is, as more and more stores finally get on the bandwagon, maybe retail fraud's going to drop even more. Now, I should point out that credit card companies have tried chip and PIN. Mm-hmm. My original American Express Blue card actually came with a chip reader so that I could use it online. Sadly, it never got adopted. So I think some credit card companies want to go to chip and PIN. They want to reduce online fraud. But, you know, I guess we're going to have to find yet another tipping point before the credit card companies finally see the light.
Yeah. Lou, it's interesting because, yes, I actually do want to applaud the financial companies. Even though it took a long time for them to get there, they did actually move towards a more secure system. Now, that more secure system is already obsolete. We've already demonstrated several attacks on this show on why chip and sign isn't necessarily a great thing. But it does eliminate a level of low-hanging fruit. The reason why fraud was so high in retail point was because it was so easy. It was incredibly easy. And I'm not even talking about skimmers. I'm just talking about people being able to use other people's credit cards because no one was ever checking them. Well, is this just a case of people saying, well, I still am going to steal. I'm just not going to do it from a retail point anymore. Or I'm not going to do it from a retail point that has a chip reader.
Yeah, I think it is a deterrent for people from a retail perspective, because now that they're not handling the card, it's harder for them to, capture signatures and capture the card data and all that stuff. So they don't get that physical access to it anymore. And so now it's more, you're going to start seeing more and more online transactions and internet transactions being kind of targeted more and more until that PIN technology goes there. So you'll definitely see a push in a specific direction because of the technology changes. But you'll see, because the fact that signature is being used and not a PIN, because, there's lots of reasons. Like, some retailers say, hey, adding PIN data to the card system, to the card itself, will cost them billions of dollars. It's hard to adopt retailers to use PIN technology. And of course, other things like Samsung Pay and Apple Pay are making the chip and PIN kind of obsolete. So there is really no push to the PIN side. But if you add PIN, then online transactions could be included as well, right, where you have to add the PIN every time you kind of check out. And it can cut down there as well. So, seeing that combination might grab both of them, and then you'll see a trend in a different direction from fraudulent charges. So it should be interesting.
We're going to get back to the chip and PIN versus the chip and sign in just a bit, but I did want to ask a question of the two of you. Do either of you actually sign on a chip and sign terminal? Because I draw a sailboat.
I actually sign,
yeah.
You actually sign? Because they don't check that. They don't care. Nobody cares. And if I have gotten away with, for the last 2+ years, with putting a sailboat on all the little electronic pads, I'm pretty sure that no one's checking it at the front office either, which means that this is essentially just one step up from what we had before. As long as you've got the card, you physically have the card, they're not going to check it against anything else. And they're just going to assume it's valid until you report it as a fraudulent charge. But Lou, I think you're right. That's why we wanted chip and PIN, because chip and PIN is portable. Chibert, like you, I had the little American Express card reader, and I so wanted to use it, and no sites were really set up to take it. I think maybe like Overstock might have set something up at some point to use it, and then they abandoned it. Do you think, like Lou, that if we did chip and PIN, that we could make a simple system when we do the card not present purchases, at least we can enter our PIN numbers?
I actually want the credit card companies to go one step further. I would love, if I do an online purchase, I want a challenge to hit my phone. And if I don't type, if I don't answer the challenge from, say, my app, then the transaction will be declined.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that even be better?
Yeah, yeah. And actually, Kevin, if you could go to my Twitter account, there is a tweet I put up this morning. I received an alert about 5 hours ago, saying that someone in Africa had tried to sign in using my credentials. And it was interesting because it said they have your password. But because I had multi-factor authentication, and because it comes straight to my phone and says, is this you? I was able to hit no, and that's it. Chibert, I'd love a system like this. I mean, this is one of my favorite things about using Android right now. These notifications, anytime a request for entry hits my phone, I get to say yay or nay. And actually, another really good example from that phone is American Express right now. Within 5 seconds of a transaction being processed, I get a pop-up on my notification screen saying, is this you? And I can hit no, and it will immediately put it into the fraud process. That's forward thinking. Is that enough? I mean, is that what we want for all financial transactions? Lou, let's start with you. Chibert, yeah. We'll get back to you. You build up your rant.
So I missed the question. What was the question?
The question is, so the same sort of authentication that we do for Google with letting us into our account, can we expect people to do the same thing for their financial transactions? You swipe your card, 5 seconds later, you get a pop-up on your screen saying, is this you? You can say yes or no.
Yeah, I don't know why you couldn't. I mean, notifications on your phone could be easily identifiable. It could be easily sent by financial organizations. I think Zelle, I can't remember the company there. They do, you can transfer transactions from accounts to account
right,
now,
right.
And some banks support it. And they offer notifications. And so you could send some money, and immediately when that person gets their money, whether it's from US Bank to Chase or whatever, you immediately get notified, hey, this person got the money, here's their account number, here's, And so I don't know if they can do it with bank transactions. Finally, thank you. Why can't they do it with credit cards? Hey, I'm using this credit card. This is when it showed up. It's kind of weird. Do you approve this? Do you not approve this? Here's a notification. It could be a text message or whatever. Like, I don't understand why this system's not there yet. Can't cost that much. I mean, come on.
Right. Cheebert, I mean, that's better than chip and PIN, right?
Yeah, it's way better than chip and PIN. Realistically, we actually had a conversation about this last week. Sorry, you weren't there. When we were talking about the Divi project, and their wallet is using blockchain so that you can transfer money using blockchain between, you know, person to person, person to business, and things like that. I think blockchain, and I think things like, you know, I think Ripple Riders said, you know, all hail the USA, third world money transactions, capital of the world, and so forth. We need something better. And chip and PIN is good, but, you know, you just talk to some of the folks in Europe or Canada or whatever, chip and PIN isn't perfect.
Right.
But, you know, having something like blockchain, that would be really cool.
Yeah, and I'd like to see it. And I think right now the payment processor that is closest to it is American Express. Cheebert, correct me if I'm wrong. I see nothing from Visa and MasterCard that's even close to what Amex is doing right now as far as informing their customers and giving their customers a very easy way to verify or reject transactions.
Well, their Chase actually has something, but it's opt-in. Amex is on automatically. Right. You actually have, for Chase, you have to go through a very long, convoluted process to turn all this kind of stuff on. Apparently, they think their customers aren't sophisticated enough to want these types of anti-fraud features.
Right. You know, the funny thing is, I have been with the same MasterCard for 26 years or so. And at one point, they offered this very cool feature. Back then, it was still very rudimentary. You had to go into a website on their site, and you could get a one-time number. This was before smartphones. This was before apps. And it was wonderful because I could make an online purchase knowing that that number could be used exactly once. So who cares if you compromise it? You weren't going to be able to use it. And then they got rid of it. And they never evolved that technology. And I'm thinking, we've got actually a comment from a user 9785 in the chat room saying the exact same thing. A one-time use transaction key would actually be fantastic. I mean, that would solve so many things, even without having to go crazy high tech. Lou, could we just do that? Could we make it so that not that people are kept from your account, but that it doesn't matter if they have compromised information?
So, you know, their one-time use cards were actually, historically, they were used. Like Chase Bank used to have this. And the reason why they got rid of it was because retailers were getting upset. Like people would sign up for trials or services with the one-time use cards that would expire within 14 business days or 30 days. And then they would lose business because people don't stay on their services and they basically have to cancel their account. And because they don't have payment information anymore. And so retailers push back quite a bit. And so if you notice, the banks have just kind of disappeared. So I don't know. That might be, again, this is the other side, is like the banks might stop doing stuff like that because they're being forced by big business.
Yeah. Bottom line is, it's okay if it's frustrating for you, but frustrating for the retailer, of course not.